So let's open up to Exodus. We will be chapter 7 tonight. That is page 49 in your pew Bible. The NIV is the translation. Exodus chapter 7 on page 49. Moses and Aaron are going to go back and get it right this time. Given this morning and how it all kind of fell apart and they didn't do well, we get to see them come and do it correctly. Now they will go back to Pharaoh. They will do exactly as God commanded this time, performing all the miracles. And Pharaoh's answer will still be no, your people can't go. Because God has already told them that. But the outcome being the same doesn't change that the story is completely different. Because in one of them, Moses and Aaron are disobedient to everything God commands. In the other one, they are obedient to everything God commands. As for you and I, we don't measure always our obedience to Christ in outcomes, because those are largely in Christ's hands. Whatever work we do in raising our children rightly and sharing the gospel and loving our neighbors, it is in God's hands that His Holy Spirit empower that for life change out there. So we don't always measure our obedience in people changing their hearts. We measure our obedience in have we actually gone and done the task that God required, praying all along that He would change lives and change hearts. So let's read what happens here when Moses and Aaron properly obey God. Pray with me, and then we'll begin in Exodus chapter 7. Father God, I pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you today. I thank you so much that we get to worship you together. I just pray that you'd put your spirit on us now, that we would hear your word, and that we would put it into action in our lives. And this I pray in your name. Amen. I'm going to start in chapter 6, verse 28. So just two verses above chapter 7. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and will act with mighty acts of judgment, and I will bring out my divisions, my people of the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians did all the same things by their secret arts. Each one of them threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staves. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord said. Completely different than the passage we read this morning. Pharaoh, same outcome, but Moses and Aaron, twice it's said in here, they did everything that the Lord commanded. What better thing can there be to be said of a Christian than did everything that the Lord commanded? We're completely obedient in all things. And you'll notice, this was a decisive victory for Moses and Aaron, right? I mean, they threw down their staff and it becomes a serpent. That's pretty incredible. These magicians, they do the same sort of thing. They make that happen somehow, but they do it a couple times. There's a couple of snakes crawling around, and Aaron's eats all of theirs. All of this is in the realm of miraculous things, but who's won here? Obviously, Moses and Aaron. That's why the very last verse is the note. Even though Pharaoh should have seen this as a sign that one God, one power is greater than the power of these magicians, still, it says, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord said. After their pitiful failure, here they are doing what is right, following what God commands, and they are now going to get to see God do miraculous things, and they're going to get to be a part of God's will because they were obedient here. Temporary setbacks, temporary failures, What's the right thing for us to do whenever we fall down, whenever we fail, whenever you and I fall into sin, whenever you and I disobey God? What's the right thing for us to do? It is to turn back to God and worship. I've said to you again and again, you can almost mark how mature you have become as a believer by how quick you are after sin to go straight to Christ and confess it. When you were immature in sin, when you were immature in your faith, you might take in time to, you know, hide out a little bit, lay low from God until the heat is off. You sin a little bit, maybe you need to go and spend some time not sinning or trying to do well, go to church a few times before you go back and pray to God to try and make it right. But we know clearly there's no making our own sins right. Christ has done that on the cross. Any attempt to do otherwise is to deny what he has done on the cross. You can mark how much you've grown up in your faith by how quick you are to turn from your sins and go straight to Christ and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, not again. Don't let there be any time in between the two. Failures happen. This sort of thing happens that Moses and Aaron do. There are utter failure in the previous chapter to do right, to obey God and showing these signs to Pharaoh where they go off upset. These things sort of happen. But what do you do when they happen? You get back to work. I'll use an example of my now favorite golfer, Jordan Spieth, no relation. He won the Masters last year. It was incredible. This year? Oh man, it was painful to watch. Your golf, what a crazy, you watch the Masters, and on the one hand, it inspires you to play more golf or to start playing golf at all if you haven't been, like me. And then on the other hand, you see that and you go, I'm staying away. I can't, I got enough heartbreak in my life. I don't need golf to hurt me more. So painful to see that. But what do you do now if you're Jordan Spieth? Go play another tournament. You keep going. You put that behind you and you continue to work. Let's look at three ways in our lives we need to, even if we've been failures in the past, need to begin trusting God and following after him rightly. Way number one is in preparation for marriage. What if you've been living together, you've been doing this wrong, you're not married, and you have been living an inappropriate relationship together before you got married? What do you do there? So let's say, as happens before, as will happen again, as just kind of happens, a couple comes up to me and says, listen, we really want to live this thing right. We're ready to, will you officiate our wedding? Will you marry us? And I say, well, is your marriage appropriate? You know, is your relationship now God-honoring? Are you living together? Are you acting immorally or are you acting rightly? Ask that question. What ought we to do? If you are prepared for marriage now and you say, okay, we want to get married now. We want to do it right. But there's been this sin in your life. What ought you to do right now? What ought I advise them to do right now? Yeah, there's just, sorry, yes was to the answer you might not have heard, and that is from this very moment until the day you are wed, you're going to be living separately. You're not going to be sleeping together. We're going to do this right. The very act of obedience to God is the blessing. There's no way to have a happy, healthy, holy marriage by going about it any other way than the way that God has commanded. The command wasn't to be a killjoy. The command was to give you the kind of relationship that you want. You can't find that apart from obedience to God. So I say to young couples, so I ask even young couples that I'm counseling for marriage right now, I ask them, in case nobody else has, are you staying together? Is your relationship inappropriate at all? Are you having sex? If it is, you must not until your wedding day. And if you refuse to, if you're going to kind of do, a lot of people have the attitude of, well, you know, we'll get married and that'll fix it. And I will say, well, you got to find somebody else to officiate this wedding because I will not. I can't bless something that in which you're unwilling to obey. It just can't work that way. There's no blessing to be had. I likewise say to you, so perhaps you are married now. Perhaps you've been married a long time. Perhaps you've been married longer than I've been alive. God bless you. Congratulations. But was your marriage, was this relationship, this good, blessed union you're in now, was it inappropriate before you were married? Were you doing it wrong? I got to talk with a couple one time at a church that I worked with, and they had been married for 20 years, and they had several middle school students They had three sons who were middle school, and one was a freshman in high school. And they said, you know, we realized this past year, we didn't realize, they had been living together before they were married. Said, but now 20 years married, we realized this year, just in praying and reading scripture, there needed to be a time for us where we apologize to each other, where we confess that as sin. Even though, yeah, we got married and now everything's okay, but we needed to look at each other and say, you know what? That wasn't the right way to do it, and I'm sorry we didn't do it the right way. To be able to actually say to each other, going back, I would have done it differently. That was wrong, and I should have treated you better. If you find yourself in this spot where now you're married and that's great and appropriate, but then it was not appropriate, and if your attitude until this day has been, well, you know, that was then and this is now, but you've never actually confessed, repented of sin, today's your day. Men, if this is the way that your marriage began, then today's a day for you to go to your wife and say, you know what? I should have been a better man of God to you in those months, in those days leading up to our marriage, and I wasn't, and I apologize. I'm sorry. If we went back and did it again, I would be the man of God that I was called to be. I would fulfill the commandments right. Where are you if you find yourself needing to go back to obeying God in marriage? Obey Him today. Begin with repentance today. Apologize to your spouse for all that time ago. All right, how about parenting? What if you started off wrong, and then somewhere in the course of parenting, you go, darn it, we haven't been doing this right. What do you do at that point? One of my favorite students, who's now a man of God, he's a fireman, he's married. I got to be his pastor from when he was a middle schooler all the way up till I'm still a pastor to him, and I love him, though, as a brother now, as he is an adult. His father came to Christ much later than he did. It was great to get to see this young man come to Christ in elementary school, and then his father come to Christ some years later. His father, who's Jewish ethnically, though never really believed in God of any kind, his father come to faith in high school. When he was in high school, the father came to faith. You get me. But a student of mine had an older brother who never did right, who never wanted to live right, who was into all kinds of terrible things. And dad always felt guilty for not having raised his son properly in faith, for coming to this point in his life and saying, man, I should have done it better. I should have raised my son better in Christ. So what do you do at that point? You start parenting correctly. It's always the right time to start obeying God in areas where you haven't been. If it's parenting, then it's always the right time for you to start parenting in a righteous way. If that means not enabling bad behavior to adult children, then that means not enabling bad behavior to adult children. If that means they still live at home with you and you have children around you, but you're just now beginning to teach obedience and command they obey God's will, then it means saying, listen, God's changed everything in my life, and so we're going to have to change everything about the way we do it. Here's the new rules. You don't have to be apologetic about that. You don't have to live in guilt for the first couple of years of their life. Rather, begin to obey God today in parenting well. I've also known a man who came to Christ in his 50s. He was an adult. He had grandkids at the time when he came to Christ, and he had been a lousy father to his daughter. And then having come to Christ, he really tried his best to do well, and he wanted to be a great grandfather to his two grandchildren. He was taking them out a lot and spending time with them and bringing them to church and teaching them scripture. The point where his adult daughter said to him one time, angrily, gee, I wish you had been as good a father as you are a grandfather. Why couldn't you have been as good a father as you are a grandfather? It was painful to him because he knew he was not a great father to her. But he also, in Christ, took it as advice onto what he was going to do now. He was going to be the kind of righteous grandfather that he had never been to his children. He was going to be a righteous example to these grandkids like he hadn't been to his daughter. He was going to begin now, doing what he could to raise up his family towards Christ. Wherever you are in this, however late you come into the game on parenting, it's always the right time to begin obeying God. The scriptural call for parenting is to tell your children about the glories of the Lord, to tell them how much He loves them, to call them to obey Him. They may be adults on their own. They may not be in your home anymore. It's still the right time. You are the one to say, honey, I love you. This is what God wants for your life. That's not. might cut off communication. Of course, you can't demand obedience if they're adults and they're not living in your home anymore. It's always the right time for you to lead your family well at any time and say, son, I love you. God doesn't want that for your life. This can't lead to good in your life. It's just going to hurt you. But if you want to come follow after Christ, this will lead to your good. God loves you dearly. Come follow him with me. It is always the right time to begin parenting righteously. Do not live in guilt for yesterday. Christ paid for our sins, and that includes all parenting sins that we feel like we've made at some point in our life. Christ has already forgiven that. Leave that in the past and begin to parent well. Final issue that we will take up tonight for, what if I haven't been living right, I haven't been obeying, and I want to start now? Where do I begin? Talked about marriage, talked about parenting. Let's talk about the proclamation of the gospel. Perhaps you have been a Christian for a long time and you have never told anybody about Jesus. Perhaps it's been so long now that you're kind of embarrassed to talk about the fact that you've never told anybody about Jesus. You're sort of embarrassed to begin or embarrassed to admit, I don't know that anybody's following after Christ better because of my life. I just don't know if that's true. Today's a great day to start. Nobody's here to give you any guilt over that. That was then. Christ's death was good enough for all of that. Now, forgetting yesterday, today is the day for you to become a witness, to bear witness that Jesus Christ is Lord, to bear witness that Jesus Christ is our risen God, to bear witness that he's coming again and he's going to set things right. But before that day, everyone that we see and everyone that we know needs to make a choice to trust him as their Lord and Savior. Listen, if you've yet to begin opening your mouth on behalf of the gospel and sharing it, you can correct that course now. Just change that today. I will leave you with a simple homework assignment, something that we can all do that's very simple, but will help you if this is the very first step for you. And it will also be excellent for you if you're the kind of person who's just telling everybody about Jesus. Some of you guys in this church put me to shame with how I share the gospel because of your constant efforts in evangelism and prayer for your neighbors. Some of you are a model for me on this, but here's one that we can all do together. This week, before you come back next Sunday night, write a letter to somebody that you are concerned is not a believer or that you know is not a believer. This is going to be the easiest way for you to get around any concerns you have that you'll be able to speak the right words or anything else like that. Just write them a letter. You can have it well written out and send it to them saying, friend, niece, nephew, neighbor, hey, I really care about you. I just want you to know Jesus Christ is Lord. I read in Scripture this week, and you know, if you just believe him, he has a plan for your life. And he's going to solve your sin problem by forgiving your sins. And he has eternal life for you. So if you'd like to, give me a call. Come to church with me on Sunday. Let's do this together. But come and obey the Lord with me and find out how joyful it is. Just write a letter. Whatever words you have, however you'd like to whoever it is, whatever relative, whatever neighbor, whatever friend you've lost contact with. And in that way, between this Sunday night and next Sunday night, you too, regardless how good with words you are or not, if you're Moses here who refuses to talk to people, you could have shared the gospel with somebody and been obedient to the commandment to make disciples. Does that sound fair? Let's give it a shot. Next Sunday night I'll ask. I'll say, who did you write your letter to? Who did you get to send it off to? How did that go? Let me pray for us and we'll be dismissed for tonight. Oh, we're going to sing a song, sorry. Father God, it's such a joy to obey you. And it's such a joy that you've patiently waited for us to obey you. Father, I pray that we would be like Moses and Aaron in this, that even if there are issues in our lives in which we failed you, we would choose to turn from that now and begin obeying you. Father, it is always the right time for us to start obeying you. Convict our hearts on where it is that we need to and put your Spirit on us to give us strength to. These things we pray in your name. Amen.